Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumbrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back. National Talk Black, have your say and yarn up strong, your mob too deadly. All ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now. It's talking about the Northern Territory government facing calls to pause new post-intervention alcohol laws and talk about this space and so very important in this space in regard to where we sit as First Nation people and our opportunity to rise in that sense. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Robin Lamley, Independent MLA, and talk about this space on the line. Robin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm great.
Good. Where are you based, Robin?
I'm based in Alice Springs. I've lived in Alice Springs for almost 30 years. I've been a local member there for 12 years.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Good. So we're talking about key points here. Alcohol bans in some remote communities ended early this month. There have been reports of a rise in alcohol-related incidents and liquor sales since the bans ended. And Northern Territory Government says the previous legislation was race basis. Can you just elaborate there, please?
So as a part of the intervention, the Stronger Futures legislation, about more than 400 Aboriginal living areas, outstations and town camps throughout the Northern Territory were kept dry from alcohol for the last 15 years. So the Northern Territory government, that legislation expired, the Stronger Futures legislation. So the Northern Territory government passed legislation in May to allow that the alcohol bans in those 400 communities, Aboriginal communities, could be lifted, which they rightly says is about self-determination. But the concern across the Northern Territory, and this has been expressed by many Aboriginal leaders and advocates now, is that the consultation wasn't done properly.
Exactly.
It's been done too quickly, and that the lifting of these bans, which happened last Saturday, is already causing problems.
It's like a decision was made, Robin, without the conversations with elders and with leaders in the communities.
That's right. Mm. And even to this day, the Northern Territory Labor government can't tell us exactly what the consultation was that was undertaken. They said, yeah, we consulted, but we don't know what they actually did. I think they sent letters
out. And who they consulted to.
Yeah, and how that consultation played out, who they spoke to. So a lot of people, including national figures, Marcia Langton was in the Australian. Linda Burney's concerned now, the Minister for Indigenous Australians.
Yes.
She wants to meet with the Northern Territory Chief Minister. But we debated pausing the lifting of these bans last night in
Parliament. So, Robin, has the horse already bolted? Is it too late?
Well, I don't think it's too late, but the government are digging their heels in. They don't want to change. They think that these bans were racist, and that's their line, and they're sticking to it. Yet so many Aboriginal people from across the country are saying, look, this is about a special measure that was put in place to protect Aboriginal women and children. It's a form of positive discrimination that should be allowed to stay in place until people know what they're actually deciding on.
Well, it's a form of racism if they're not communicating with the First Nation people on a decision that's so vital.
Yeah. Look, you know, as a white woman, middle-aged white woman, I don't like to talk about racism. I don't like to bandy that word around. But all I know is that opening the floodgates to grog right across the Northern Territory is a catastrophe waiting to happen.
Sure, and it's not in our culture anyway when you talk about liquor, but there it is. But thank you very much for the yarn and shedding some light on the situation. Watch this space closely, is the case, isn't it?
I think so, yeah, sadly.
Robin, thank you very much. You take care.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye. Diddly-yarn there. That's Robin Lamley, independent MLA, and talking about the Northern Territory government facing calls to pause new post-intervention alcohol laws. The conversation there was our First Nation people, elders and in communities, and our leaders in the communities weren't engaged in that conversation in regard to changing the rules, so to speak. So there it is. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yana with the bully one here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program. It is National Talk Black. It is your program. Have your say in Yana up strong. 1-800-422-416.
Stories tell me who I am. There is truth in the words they spoke. It's not a tale, it's not a joke. These words tell me why I am. People, they walk this land.
I belong, Lexine Solomon, and I belong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. You belong here too, you mob. Give us a call, have your say, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, to yours truly, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host of your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station, BBM, Bama Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Our first step towards a resolution, Safe Sorry Business Coalition, welcomes initial response from government on UPLA ACBF collapse. And we've been talking about this space in regard to people who've invested money into their funerals and to save putting pressure on the family when a loved one passes on. But the collapse of UPLA, which devastated a lot of people in regard to the financial situation. But we're going to catch up a yarn there with Daphne Naden, and she's Elder and Director at the Indigenous Consumer Assistance Network, and talk about this space. Online, Daphne, good morning, sis. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Trevor. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you, my sister, for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, sis.
I'm Yalanji. I'm with Gubbidi Wada, Julay and Boora Connections.
All right, beautiful. Thank you. Now, you was a client, weren't you, with the UPLA, UPLA ACBF, and, well, you lost money in that. Tell us your situation and the reason why you joined them.
Hello?
Can you hear me there? Daphne? No, Daphne. We'll try and get Daphne back. Continue. And that's Daphne, and she's one of the customers or clients in regard to the UPLA ACBF collapse, and well, she was a client, and then it collapsed. So we're talking about a lot of people who invested money into this company, and we'll try and get Daphne back to continue that conversation. I'll just try and call her back here, but stay tuned, you mob. BBM 98.7 FM, National Talk Black. Dance to the Sun, that's our Coloured Stone, but we're just having a conversation with Sister Daphne Naden and talking about her situation with the UPLA ACBF collapse. Online, Daphne, you there, sis?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry about that, got you back. So talking about your situation, you was a client of UPLA ACBF. They've collapsed and left you in a distraught situation. So tell us your story there, please, sister.
Oh, yeah, I signed up with the funeral insurance company in 1994 or 96, around there. Mm. And, I've been paying into that fund right up until just before it got liquidated.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've put, you know, $15,000 plus, you know?
Mm, exactly. Yeah. And looking at the news that's come forward, the Minister for Indigenous Australians, Linda Burney, and Assistant Treasurer, Minister for Financial Services, Stephen Jones, they've announced the government will honour benefits of the ACBF policy holders. So that would be you, who had active policy as of 1 April 2020. And you fit in that category, do you not?
No. This is just the first part of the response from government, and okay, it's to cover those ones that have passed since
April 1, 2020.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and the fund covers those right up until the 30th of November next year. So it's people that have passed in that period and who may pass, unfortunately.
And you're here making yarn with us. Well, you're still with us, so but you miss out on that opportunity. Is that what,
that's what? I miss out on that, but there's still further work with the government to, because that fund was actually, they had three funds or something, and I was in fund two, and so that particular one was the one that collapsing together, or, you know.
So this initial response from the government, so there are other responses yet to come. So the horse hasn't bolted just yet, has it, sister?
Sorry?
The horse hasn't bolted just yet. You haven't lost it completely at this point
in
time.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not, fingers crossed, yes.
That remains to be seen, yes.
Well, exactly. And the reason why you've done this, and a lot of our mob have done this, and a lot of non-Indigenous people do this, so it doesn't put pressure on the family when we pass, because it's very expensive to leave Mother Earth, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And, you know, us, mob, we've got family everywhere, and and family like to come and pay their respects.
Yes.
And so there's travel costs and everything involved for family too, you know?
Exactly.
And because we value family, you know, that's why we have the funerals. You know, we have we'd like for people to come and share, you know, and be together at that time, eh?
And when we're talking the cost is so expensive, and hence is why you've invested in such a program, so it doesn't put financial weight on your family. But here you are, swinging in the breeze because of the collapse of UPLA ACBF.
That's right. And at the time, Trev, I went and signed up for myself, and I paid premiums for myself and my four girls at that time.
Okay.
Yes, and a lot of people have done that. A lot of people have covered their whole family, you know?
Yeah. And so here you are, still waiting for the outcome in your situation. As I just mentioned, the government has come forward and they will honour benefits for ACBF policy holders, but that's as of 1st of April 2020 until 30 November. But what about the people before? And you're the ones who before that.
That's right.
And you're still with us, of course, you know. So watch this space. That's what it's all about. And look, we'll try and get in touch with government to find out the next response, so to speak. This is the initial response. We need to know how it sits for future policy holders, you included, sister.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So this money here that's being made available, that fund covers those ones that have passed in that period.
Just explain how you're feeling, Daphne, in regard to the so-called kick in the guts. I mean, I just can't comprehend how you would be feeling when we're talking about money. Money is a tool, but you're putting all this money in and it's just floating in the spin air.
I feel the word that would be deflated because it's about exploitation of our mob, you know, and it's happened forever. And it's still happening.
Yeah.
And we, you know, so that's the sad thing about the whole thing, because Indigenous people were seen as vulnerable at that time by ACBF, and they were seen as they were made a target, you know.
Well, exactly. And you look at the name there, Daphne, is UPLA, and that's a language belonged to us mob, you know. And so we thought it was a First Nation organisation, a company, First Nation owned, but it was owned by white people, but they did pull the wool over our eyes, didn't they?
That's right. I just assumed they were
a Bama
country company because they used our colours too, you know, the red, yellow and black that we really take to, you know.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So we've exploited big time. My sister, thoughts are going out to you. We'll be in touch. We're communicating with the so-called lawyers and government regarding this response. Please do keep listening and please keep us up to date as well, and give us a call back if anything changes in your situation, please.
Okay.
Daphne, you take care, sister.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye-bye, Dal. Bye-bye. That's Daphne Naden, and the situation director of at ICANN, victim of UPLA collapse, and she's a client customer. She misses out on the initial response from the government as they are honouring the benefits of ACBF policy holders who had an active policy as of 1 April 2020. But, of course, Daphne Naden invested well before that, and the system will be available until 20 November as of the initial response. But Daphne falls outside that, so waiting on the second response to see where she sits. But that's the situation. And we had non-Indigenous people running a company, we assume, was First Nation, as Daphne said, Bummer, was First Nation people in business. But it wasn't, and there's the exploiting our people once again. Have you seen Yana Strong out of the conversation here? National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Black girl, black girl, won't you love me tonight? Won't you come over, darling, make everything right? Black girl, black girl, won't you love me and then come over, darling, and love me. I know, it's hard for you, and you know, darling, it's hard for me too. I know, I love you true, come over, darling, say, black girl, black girl, won't you love me tonight? Come over, darling, make everything right. Black girl, won't you love me and then come over, darling. Someday, someday, we'll be alright. Just like it is on this shiny night. Someday, someday, we'll have it all. 'Cause you know, darling, stand tall. Black girl, black girl, won't you love me tonight? Come over, darling, make everything right. Black girl, black girl, won't you love me and then come over, darling. So love, won't you say you love me? We'll be together eternally. So love, won't you love me and then come over, darling. Black girl, black girl, won't you love me tonight? Come over, darling, make everything right. Black girl, won't you love me and then come over, darling.
Ah. on your mob, it's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Causing me suspicion, but there's no proof. In the paper today, tales of war and of waste, but you turn right over to the TV page. Nayali Jaya, come on back.
Track there, Don't Dream It's Over. That's Isaiah featuring Stan Walker here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, New Mob. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, you can text your brother 0457140550. And the brothers ball you on. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host, your daily program, National Talk Black. You can also contact us via Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Let's talk NRL. What's happening this week? Of course, controversy game tonight, Sea Eagles versus Roosters. After seven Sea Eagle players have stepped down regarding the Pride round. The other games happening tomorrow night, Warriors versus Melbourne Storms. Melbourne Storms on a losing streak, four losses. Then you also have the Parramatta Eels up against the Panthers, the top team at the moment. So see, there you go. Titans up against the Raiders on Saturday. Sharks up against the Rabbitohs. Broncos take on West Tigers. And on Sunday, Knights take on Bulldogs. Dragons take on Cowboys. And that's how it sits for this weekend. So may the best team win. Good luck with your mob in regard to your team. And It's about the greatest game of all. There it is. And that's the NRL for this year, for this weekend coming up. But stay tuned. Have your say. Nyan Up Strong here. National Talk Black. Deadly number again is 1-800-422-416.
As I walk along the empty streets with nothing but the sounds of yesterday, wondering about the people who live behind closed doors, the sounds of children crying, the sounds of parents fighting, and families just trying to survive. Somewhere in breaks the silence in my mind. Comes the lonely, haunting laughter of lost souls in the night. The loneliness of people who are lost and defeated, and somehow who were trying to unite. Tell me why. The pain that you have suffered and the memories that keep you here in time. The pain and the sorrow that you have suffered in your life keeps you stranded in the darkness where you have walked before, suspended in and the memories that keep you here in time. Oh, why are you lonely? Can you go back home? Tell me how can I release you from the pain that you have suffered and the memories that keep you here in time. From the pain that you have suffered and the memories that keep you here in time.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Right, now, First Nations Clean Energy Symposium, that's happening down at Melbourne and running from Thursday 21 to Friday 22 July. And we're going to catch and have a yarn now with Chris Croker, Managing Director of First Nation Clean Energy, and talk about the symposium on the line. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, very, very good, brother. How are you going up in sunny Queensland?
Sunny Queensland, warm, my brother, compared to you down in Melbourne. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, Chris.
Yeah, so I'm born and raised in the Northern Territory. My family are Luritja from the Central Desert.
Yes.
So, and some people may know of Wataka, or Kings Canyon National Park.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's where my family are born, and my mum's literally born in the desert there.
Yeah, good footprint. Good footprint,
you know,
brother.
Nice, Red Earth Country there, which is, you know, very beautiful with the desert oaks as well. So it's always good to head back home that way.
Yeah, beautiful. So looking at the and talking about the hat that you're wearing, Managing Director, Impact Investment Partners and First Nation Clean Energy Network Steering Group, we're talking about this symposium that's happening down there at Melbourne. First Nation Clean Energy is supposing renewables boom for all. So let's talk about this space and talk about this vehicle, which is, I think, a very important vehicle in regarding having First Nation people at the table when we're talking about protecting country. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. You know, this is basically about, you know, how do we encourage community to, you know, basically leading this conversation so we can, you know, work on the barriers that have, you know, been preventing communities access reliable and clean power, make sure that we have a role in, you know, we actually, you know, have jobs, locals getting employed, you know, training for our youth coming them through. But also, you know, really that land management aspect as well, you know, making sure that, you know, developers and government entities are consulting with community right at the beginning of these clean energy projects rather than at the end.
Yes, exactly. So having the symposium as such, is this the inaugural symposium as such? Is this a yearly thing that happens?
We haven't really decided whether it'll be yearly, but it, you know, this is our second one where we've brought together a lot of community members from around the country. And this one was held in Melbourne because we've been working in partnership with the National Native Title Council, and they basically had a space available for us, and so we jumped at the chance to be hosted down in Melbourne, down in Naarm, which is really good because we've had community members from North Queensland, you know, New South Wales, Territory, WA, everywhere converge onto, you know, Melbourne and, you know, sit down for a couple of days and yarn about, you know, what are the challenges, what are the opportunities, you know, how do we strengthen our rights when it comes to this, you know, new industry that's being rolled out across the world and across the country.
And so with that, at the table, who do we have in regarding, well, keynote speakers and mob talking about protecting country?
There was a lot of, you know, talk. We heard from industry, of course, you know, about their plans and, you know, what's happening with clean energy across Australia, you know. The federal government regulators talk about, you know, in order for us as a country and us as global citizens to achieve, you know, this net zero carbon emissions, which is all about, you know, preventing climate change. And, you know, all of our mob, of course, is, you know, basically at the front line of, you know, what's happening with the environment, whether it's, you know, islands getting flooded up in the Torres Strait or, you know, communities suffering with heat wave in the, you know, central arid regions. So we had, you know, community members talk about their experience, you know, when it comes to, you know, some of the effects that they've been receiving. But also we heard from our brothers and sisters over in North America from the Navajo Nation and from Canada about, you know, they're much more advanced, you know, when it comes to, one, their political rights, which, as we know, in Australia we've all been suffering with, you know, lack of that political voice. But they also have a lot of economic muscle there as well, you know. So we heard from Navajo and Canadians about what they've managed to do for their own people over the last 10 years. And, you know, it's really heartening that, you know, by coming together, by lobbying for change, standing up for their rights, they've actually managed to, you know, get a lot of community employed, protect heritage and land from, you know, developers coming in. So, yeah, so really I'm good. Of course, from government, we had speakers from the big government agencies like the Indigenous Land Sea Corporation, ARENA, that sponsors a lot of renewable energy projects, a whole bunch of academics spoke, lawyers around, you know, our native title rights and land rights when it comes to, you know, having a right to negotiate, a right to influence developments. And a bunch of community, you know, community spoke about what are the challenges when it comes to negotiating with developers. Community also spoke about some of the really good things that they've been doing over the last few years. Like I remember this story around coming from a little community to the south of Alice Springs, Ginger Porter. And they spoke about, you know, all of the power outages that they've been experiencing. So, you know, they basically stood up there themselves with some friends and supporters to basically implement a solar power microgrid of their own so it can ensure, you know, reliable power for their communities, you know, schools, not getting affected with outages, and medicines that are, you know, in households, you know.
Well, and they're standing up on the podium to tell the story because they couldn't email them. because there's no power sort of thing, you know what I mean? It's good we have these conferences and these symposium, pardon the punt there, my brother Chris, but so we do have a national peak body now that sits in the space for First Nation people. So all governments and companies in the business world should be front and centre dealing with First Nation clean energy, national peak body, yes.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely because there's a lot of regulation, legislation changes, and for them too long. Like our mob, of course, being at the end of the conversations when it comes to everything.
So this is
we don't want to be left out of this massive clean energy revolution that's about to come in. It's another we need to be front and center.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot of benefits for our mob, whether it's the small communities that are out of remote regions, or actually the around the cities and the like, where there's actually a lot of job opportunities that we need to be involved in. It's some our land. We need to make sure that culture and heritage is protected.
But also in the business sense as well, Chris. You know what I mean? I mean, entrepreneur avenues for our First Nation people to operate on their country, renewable energy. Yes.
That's right. There's massive investment coming into the country. So Aboriginal Torres Strait Islanders, businesses, entrepreneurs, we need to be given the opportunities to work on, help build these projects that are coming to be built on our country, whether it's solar or storage or wind projects.
Yes.
There's going to be a massive amount over the next few years. So we need to have our part of action, make sure that we've got employment coming from it, training and development, and businesses flowing to community members.
Beautiful. Watching the space so closely, thank you very much for sharing there, Chris, and please do keep in touch. Have a great symposium, and look, it's the future looks bright, so to speak, but good luck with it all, and thank you very much for the yarn, my friend.
No worries, brother. Yeah, good to talk, and look forward to catching up again soon.
Take care, Chris. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adela Yarn there, that's Chris Croker, Managing Director of First Nation Clean Energy, and got the symposium happening down there in Melbourne for a couple of days. National peak body it is, and they should be front and centre in regard to all conversations with government and with companies in regard to the future moving ahead and supporting First Nation people operating on their country and job opportunities, career path opportunities, business opportunities, and also protecting Mother Earth on their country. So a very important conversation. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong here, National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416.
Maladanbon Murray, Karega, Warama, Mbala, Magida. Magida Yundo, Magida Yundo, Magida Yundo, Magida Yundo. Amaye to pull a yundo to pull a guy to pull a key. And I yet to pull a yundo to pull a guy to pull a key. And I yet to pull a yundo to pull a guy to pull a key. And I yet to pull a yundo to pull a guy to pull a key. And I yet to pull a yundo to pull a guy to pull a key. And I yet to pull a yundo to pull a guy to pull a key.
Yeah, to Deadly Mob, welcome back to your Deadly Program, National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up with someone on the line. Good morning, brother.
Yeah, brother. Continuing on from yesterday, brother.
Yes.
Little Dolly, she still started in 2018. She was 14 years old. because people used to bully about sexuality or gender, whatever it was.
Mm.
Brother, you know, this country before Christianity, it's black history corrupted by white people, brother. Mm. And before they even come here, you know, brother, you know yourself. Mm. Like brother, you and me, we got Chinese ancestry, but my dad kissed my closer dad had more than my Chinese. Yes. Ethnicity. And anyway, brother, this is what we teach you in school. Mm. Our X and Y chromosome determines our masculinity and our femininity. And before people came to this country, even now, you have women with beads and males with female features. And brother, that's got nothing to do with Sodom and Gomorrah and what happened over there.
Mm.
And you know, with those Polynesians, they bracketed it in that way to say Polynesian. That's why they bracketed it in brackets Polynesian. But brother, they are amongst Polynesian too. People that are born with a different sort of sexuality, brother. Yeah. Thank you very much, brother.
No, thank you for your input. Thank you, brother. That's someone there, regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn up strong there. And let's look at the AFL news or what's happening with the games this weekend. Friday, we got the Dockers up against Melbourne Demons. And on Saturday, you got Collingwood up against Port Adelaide. Sydney Swans up against the Giants. St Kilda up against the Hawks. And the Cats, Geelong Cats, up against Western Bulldogs. And also have Adelaide Crows up against Carlton. Sunday, Suns up against West Coast Eagles, Richmond up against Brisbane Lions, Essendon Bombers up against North Melbourne, and that's yarning up. That's the games for this weekend. So may the best team win there in your AFL code. But look, thank you very much for your company, your mob. Trendy Trev going to sign off here for today. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow with that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black, your program, your mob. But thank you for tuning in. And look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and we'll be yarning soon.